Today we trust you with the message. I pray that you use me as a, just a conveyor of the truth that you've already put in me. And Jesus, I pray that you bless us and unite our spirits. And I pray that the way that the Holy Spirit would just cover us up. I used to think it was so odd to say anoint us. It sounds like a mysterious term. And Jesus, it's just that you put your hand upon us. So I pray, Jesus, that you bless the message and the messenger, and Jesus, the hearts that are going to be the recipients of what you have on today. Help us, Lord, to be exactly what you want us to be. Just like the early church, when you left and left people in charge to say, it's yours. We'll make disciples. So, Jesus, I pray that we be found faithful and bring up Life Point Church and grow it just like you want us. Church. We love you. Thanks for loving us first. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's great to see you. I'm so glad you're here. It encourages me to look around and see some familiar faces. I like it when God brings us all together. And so David Mona, thanks for being here today. See, I love to go back in time there, and not too far, but anyway. There, it's great to see teachers. David's had me for Bible class before, so I'm probably going to say something I said back in the seventh grade days. So if I do, I know you'll remember it. But sometimes we feel these things on the sign right here, confused, unsure, unclear, and on those days it can feel perplexed and disoriented, bewildered. This is Monday morning for a lot of people in America. This is, Christians don't feel this way, right? Oh, no. We're still human. We sometimes feel just like, what in the world is going on? And then we finally reach a certain point. We say, okay, now what now? Where do we go from here? The disciples, what now? If you've got a Bible, you can turn to Acts. And in the book of Acts, Jesus has just left the scene, and God sort of reminds me of things that He gives me verses that help me get through. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus is going to leave the earth. And the disciples are probably asking this, what now? We still live this lesson every day of our lives. Often we go through seasons, and people graduate. I can't believe it that you probably have some people that are going to graduate. Melanie, next year, Emily graduates from high school. Can you believe that? I still picture Emily about 2 or 3 years old, and she graduates from high school next year. That was a pretty girl you saw in her junior, senior prom. You're probably looking around this room and thinking, I'm still a little kid. David's 12, and I'm 25, teaching at Roanoke Valley. No, David's almost 50. You graduated in 87? 88. So I'm just thinking, wow, it's the same thing I look at. I'm 20, my dad's 50. No, I am my dad. I've become his age. And so you might have somebody graduate from high school. How'd this happen? What do they do now? You're going on a trip, you get take this road, take that road, and then you end up saying, hey, what do I do from here? Because I'm thinking I'm following the old GPS, and suddenly it's some of us have actually got a bill in the mail before it's final notice. What do I do now? I don't have money. God does stuff to get our attention, doesn't he? He sort of puts us in certain places. He might give us a job offer. We might wonder who to marry. We might, it's all sorts of things. This is one of the toughest things to do. We lose a loved one when we say, Lord, what are you doing? So we're questioning God Almighty, who can create the world by simply speaking, and we act like he doesn't know what he's doing. How shameful of us. I've done that before, and I apologized immediately. Whether it's like, God, what are you doing? I mean, you've done everything else right, but you sure messed up here. No, he didn't. So I guess he messed up when he left, and he left the disciples in charge. Did you know the church actually grew when Jesus left? Sooner or later, you've got to put them out there. So it was the death of Jesus, and the disciples thought, oh, it's over now. And they go for 3 days wondering, and Jesus finally shows up, and then they get excited, only to have him 40 days later leave again. Jesus, what are you doing? I'm leaving you in charge. We're not ready. I think you are. But I know you are. You are. Trust me. Oh, Jesus, we just can't do this. Acts chapter 1, look at what he does to them. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. He appeared to them for over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God, verse 4. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem. I read in a Max Lucado book one time, don't just do something, stand there. You know, we've memorized that the opposite way. Don't just stand there and do something. Well, Max wrote it the other way because sometimes God wants you to be still. When someone goes, just like I've done before, whether my mom or dad in the hospital, I think, I've got to go do something. God says, won't you just be quiet, be still, and I'll take care of things. Now, boy, that's hard for us to do. That's hard for us fixers to do, isn't it? We think we can do everything. We're a 30-minute sitcom. We're going to have a problem, solve it, and everybody be happy in 30 minutes. No, that ain't the way it works. And God says, would you just be quiet for a minute? Now, sometimes he's called me to be bold, and I'll go down and grab a doctor by the arm and say, I need to help, you know, I want you to come help me, my mom. And, I went back and forth, but sometimes he says, be still. He told these disciples, y'all, for the ones that are cranked up, like Simon the Zealot, you know, he's probably gnawing at the bit. He says, slow down, think a minute. He appears to them in a period of 40 days, spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, he was eating with them. He gave them this command, don't leave Jerusalem. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father. The gift my Father has promised. Why couldn't they go ahead and leave? If you don't have the gift he's going to give you, you won't be very successful because we all know what's that gift he's going to give them. The Holy Spirit. He's going to give them the GPS for life, God's planned service. Yeah, he's going to give him the GPS. You better hang on. On one occasion, he was eating with him, gave him this command, don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Still confused. God, you're going to become a king, and you're going to live here with us forever. He's going to drop a bomb right here on them. No, I'm not going to be here. I'm leaving. You can't do that. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates my Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, here it is, I'll ask the rhetorical question. I know what the answer is. How many of you ever said goodbye to someone? Kiss them on the cheek and they say goodbye and go to work. Kiss them on the cheek and they go spend the night. Remember the first night the kids, we got a sleepover. Oh, you can't go. Have you got enough? You pack up two suitcases. We're just going down a block. And, Mom, I'm 12 pairs of underwear. And they're only having a lot of accidents. No, they just, Mom would overpack. And we just, oh. And then how about any of us have said goodbye to someone who went on to heaven? This is, I can't do this. Jesus is going to go to heaven. And the disciples are just probably, I can just picture them, they're human. They got tears running down their face. And they say something that, oh, he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates my Father has sent by your authority. You'll receive power. Oh, verse 9. Okay. After he said this, he was taken up right before their eyes. Then a cloud hit him from their sight. He was gone. They stood there looking intently into the skies he was going when suddenly there's, I don't know how long they probably looked. You might want to guess just, no, how long do you think they sat there and looked at the sky? And then they looked at each other. Angels standing right there with, we all looking at cloud. Jesus just left. I don't know why, how long y'all going to stand here and look at? I don't know, about 2 days. Not two hours. 2 minutes. What? Quit standing here looking for him. He's going to come back and say, well, he left. And meanwhile, y'all better walk. Get busy. Can we just say here? Oh. I remember in a little house on the prairie one time, Charles Ingalls came upon, they had a plague going through, and he came upon, he was helping people do this, he'd help them do that, and he came upon this one dad that was rocking his son, and he said, can I take it? He said, no. And he turned around and they look at Caroline. He's like, let's just let him be for a while. His son had died of the plague. His dad was sitting there rocking. He didn't want to let him go. And finally, Charles was like, let's just let him be. What that's doing is helping the grief. What that's doing is, you got to do that. But sooner or later, Charles was like, we'll come back and check on him in a little bit here. So in other words, let's let him be. But sooner or later, we've got to say, he's gone. Disciples, he's gone.
I can imagine John's disrupted. John's your best friend. John's just weeping. John, it's okay. Matter of fact, these angels in so many words said this: I know Jesus died, but he rose again. 3 days later, he's ready to, 40 days later, he's going back to heaven. But Jesus, no, Jesus got a plan. He wants y'all to birth the church. What? We're going to do something to make history. We're going to start a church. Well, so it sounds exciting. Jesus would want you to. I can hear Jesus say, your mama would want you to go ahead and plant life for me. Okay. In other words, make me proud. And the disciples get a pep talk, and as they were looking there, the angel said, why are you standing here looking at the sky? This same Jesus has been taken from you. He's going to come again the same way you've seen him going to heaven. So let's go. Let's get cranking. So the disciples might say, well, what now? What do we do? Well, you can't go in there half strength, so you got to be strong enough to be full power. Anybody need one of these study booklets?
I'll give one to the...
y'all got one? Anybody need one? Anybody need one at all? Can ladies? Can y'all grab any more? All right. Can y'all need... All right, it's got a word on the front of this book that says action. Action in the book of Acts. I want us to grow as a Life Point church and being the church that they mention in Acts. Why did I turn to the book of Acts? Because this is a great example. I can give you a simple example real quick right here. Jive's football started not like they're not the champions. When I was in high school, we had one winning season in 11 years. Not exactly championship material. Then they come along and started running this thing called a single wing. And we are pretty good at it. We played in 6 state championships and won 4 in 80, 93, 96, 2004, 2005, and 6. And then in 2013, we won a state championship again. So we've got a state championship every decade. But many years ago, Steve Ragsdale told me, he traveled out to Denison College and met this guy named Keith Piper, who had coached from 1954 to 1992. 38 years running. Guess what they ran at Denison University? The single wing. And Steve said, I took me and my whole staff and went out and spent a week at Denison College back then. It's Denison University. Why did he take them out there? He says, I want to learn this thing perfect. He already had a pretty good start since his daddy, Harry Ragsdale, had ran the single wing for 43 years. But Steve grew up with it. But he says, I want to go see how it's done, and I'm going to come back here to Giles and duplicate it. Did that pretty good. So to duplicate the single wing, look at that, the single wing and a prayer. David Piper, Keith's son, wrote this book, and he's more likely just sort of bragging on his daddy. It's a labor of love when he wrote that book, and there's his dad. So Steve Ragsdale says, I want to go learn from the what? The best. This guy practically coached the single wing for 40 years. Well, I want us to go to the book of Acts, and we're going to learn from the best. I want to copy them. I want to pattern them. The disciples' best friends just left. He died, came back to life, and then he left him again. So what now? Well, to understand what they've went through, I want to look at this playbook that God has left. It's called the Book of Acts. If you ever want to plant a church, just copy this one. Now, I don't know that we're going to have a message that I can win 3,000 souls to the Lord like Peter did with his first message. But after he ascended into heaven, he left them in charge. Jesus, you're leaving. Well, I'm leaving you in charge is what I'm doing. So two reactions. We can either stay here and just be a mediocre church, and I refuse to do that. And it's okay to be still and grow at God's time, because what did he tell his disciples? Wait here. Don't jump the gun. Hang on until I put everything into place. God will not send me 300 people next week at Life Point. Well, that's a lack of faith. No, we don't have the means to serve. So God's going to put people in place. He might call you to do a certain thing and say, okay, now we're ready for the people. You don't open up a restaurant if nobody knows how to cook. Let me know. So we better have some things into place. But once they are, I want us to charge ahead and take on what God's called us to do. So the book of Acts, he does have a prerequisite for this. You may notice a pattern in the early church that you can't be a part of this movement unless you're saved. You got to admit you're a sinner and need God's help. Acknowledge Jesus died for you, was buried and rose again. That's the gospel. Agree with God. Hey, I'm wrong, but I want my life to change. Ask him to forgive you and repent of your sins. Repent means to change and turn about. If you're going in this direction, repent means to turn around 180 and go the opposite way. You don't want to stick a half a foot in the world and the other half in church. Go ahead and give in. Accept Jesus into your heart, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, and allow God to grow you and use you.
I think the disciples are at this point. They said, all right, God, we don't really know what we're doing, but we're going to take on and be who you've called us to be. So, let's read together. You ready to go? I want you to picture yourself. You're the disciples. You have your bag packed and you're ready to go. And they're not up to full strength. So what did we say last week? The first order of business, if you want to fill this booklet in and you have not done so yet, you can fill it in right here. I'm going to catch you up to par with everybody. If you look on page one, there is a man who wrote the book of Acts. The background, the author, and the time written. The author is Luke, so you can write Luke in there. How do you know it's Luke? Because he wrote the Gospel of Luke. He said, my most excellent Theophilus. In this book, he starts it off in my former book, Theophilus. So it's Luke. Luke wrote about 80 to 90. You'll have some critics say, boy, that's late. Wow. 80 to 90, Jesus died and rose from the grave and went to heaven at about 33. So only 50 years later, you're saying that's not an accurate description? Well, that'd be like me writing about my 10th grade year in high school. That's 50 years ago. You tell me I don't know. Yeah, I had Coach Clark. Had a little skinny black tie. Made us run a lot of sprints. I remember. I could write it like it was yesterday. Don't tell me it's 50 years old is not an accurate description. I can remember that. The purpose is to record the Acts of the Apostles. Let's see how this church started. And, of course, the early Christian churches who we're looking at. Keep in mind the book of Acts at the second page serves as a bridge between the Gospels and our lives today. In other words, how do we live once we become Christians? Well, we need a helper. How did Jesus... What gift did Jesus promise the disciples? He promised them the Holy Spirit. So he said, stay here in Jerusalem until you receive the gift. And so they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. What did the angels basically tell Jesus? Tell the disciples, in verse 11. Let's get going. That's really what it was. Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you to heaven will come back the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present weren't any names of disciples, but they were missing one. Judas Iscariot is no longer with them. So the first thing they did, verse 15, in those days Peter stood up among the believers and he starts talking to them. And he tells them about, since Jesus is going, he says, we got to get going. The angels have told us to. So let's pray about it. But before we go, we got to replace Jesus. We got to be full strength. So they replace him with a man named Matthias. So what was the first thing the disciples and the others did when they got to Jerusalem? They prayed. What lesson can we learn from this? Before you do anything, pray. Pray. Now, if you pray so long you never get to do it, if I'd have prayed about starting LifePoint for years and years and never done it, I think I would have been wrong. But I don't want to jump ahead of Jesus and say, let enthusiasm be your guide. No, enthusiasm will die off, and then you'll say, why did I do this? So pray. What lesson can we learn from this? Pray. What was the first order of business the disciples felt led to do? Replace Judas. And why do you think they did this? They wanted to be at full throttle. And I could preach a whole message on Matthias, but how would you like to be the man that joined these legends? Matthias, you're going to be one of the disciples. Boom. Wow. He is stepping into some big shoes there. But I know they treat him the same as they did all the rest. Well, the gift is the Holy Spirit. So, number two right here. What is Pentecost? Chapter 2, would you read this with me in verse 1 of Acts chapter 2? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Wow. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violin and wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Big question. How can these guys suddenly speak the language that we need to hear and tell us about Jesus? They were just amazed. Verse 12 says, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what's this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. I don't think you're drunk at 10 a.m. At least, that would probably be a tough time. Peter stands to stand up and correct the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who are in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. I said 10. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So fill in your booklet right here. It says, since the Spirit brings the church into existence and enlivens it, Pentecost could be seen as the church's birthday. This is it. These guys are making history. This would be like the first, you know, the baby's born in your family. And who do you want to tell after that baby's born? Everybody. The church has just been born. You say, well, they've had the church, but the Holy Spirit has just blessed these guys. A translation of the Greek word Pentecostus is the word Pentecost means 50. 50. Now, what's 50? Well, the penta there gives it away, like the Pentagon, five-sided building. 50, or about 7 weeks, which is the amount of time after Jesus' resurrection. So Jesus left it 40 days. Since Jesus ascended 40 days after he rose from the dead, this leaves, you guessed it, this leaves 10 days. 10 days between the two events. So Jesus' resurrection, going back to heaven in 40 days, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit comes down. I wonder what they did for those 10 days. Jesus, maybe he's testing them. He's letting them be. It's sort of like letting you do something. Maybe the first time you ever drove a riding lawnmower, your dad probably just looked through the door and licensed you to make sure you're okay. And he knew you were going to be all right, but he kept a close eye. You might not have even known he was watching you. So, Jesus is watching. 10 days. What are y'all going to do? Well, they prayed. They replaced Judas with Matthias. They are ready to go. And now here comes the gift of the Holy Spirit. How is the day of Pentecost different from the Tower of Babel story? Remember these guys who are speaking a language that everybody can hear? How is it different? Tower of Babel was what? Back in Genesis chapter 11, these guys were building their way to heaven. God spoke and just, no, you're not going to build your way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. So he messed up the language. He caused what? Confusion. What's he doing right here? He's not causing confusion at all. Matter of fact, he's bringing clarity. So how is the day of Pentecost different from the Tower of Babel? Everybody understands each other. Back at Tower of Babel, they couldn't understand anybody. Now he allows them to say, guys, I'm really helping you right here. By the way, who did this? God Almighty. God recently encouraged me a lot by reminding me one more time. He's done it before, but I like it. This is not about me. And if somebody comes in and understands and rededicates their life or they accept Jesus as Savior, it wasn't me. You ever heard Billy Graham? Maybe you've heard of him. Billy Graham would speak a message, and it wasn't emotional. He didn't tie in a story. He didn't try to grab you. He just simply preached, most of the time, the gospel. And thousands would come forward. He didn't do it by clever tongue. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to grab their hearts, and we'll have Michael W. Smith sing a song that'll woo them. He just preached. And they just, who do you think drove those people forward? Who's the one that got you saved? Holy Spirit. So he just frees me up. I can just be Edgar and quit trying to be everything to everybody. I don't want to be confusion. I want to be clear communication. So I'm going to just leave, you know, let go, let God. I'm going to just do what he tells me to do. And that's what Peter did. Peter addresses a crowd, but I want to at least throw this at you. Just a little thought. Would you, it might just be one page. Would you turn one page back in your Bible to John 21? John 21. Peter denies Jesus, and then in John 21, he reinstates Peter. Chapter 21 of John, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? I don't know if he's talking about the fish or the other disciples. Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt. God, Jesus, I've told you, asked the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things, you know I love you. I didn't know until you look it up, and I'm no Greek scholar by any means, but the first two times Jesus asked, he says, do you phileo, which is a brotherly love, like the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, do you brotherly, he gives him the agape sacrificial love. Peter, will you sacrifice for me? Lord, you know I will. Ask him again, will you sacrifice for me? Lord, you know. Finally, he changes it to phileo. The last time, would you at least love me like a brother? He changes the Greek word there. So in other words, Peter, do you really, really love me with all your heart? Well, Lord, you know I do. Ask him again, would you love me with all Lord, you know, he said, would you at least be fond of me? Lord, you know, and he hurt him. And Peter is probably feeling bad already because he's the one that denied what? Jesus three times. Just now Jesus asked him, would you follow me? And yes, Lord, you know. And Peter even tries to do like we sometimes do. He dodges a bullet. Verse 20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. That was John. Following him, he says, well, what about him? Y'all never done that in school, have you? David, you're talking. Well, what about him? And I'm talking about him, talking to you, you know. Not that I ever called you up for talking, but I'm just saying, sometimes if a teacher gets on me, don't we? Well, what about him? Peter says, well, what about John? He says, I was talking to John. I'm talking to you right now, Peter. Wow. Peter's probably feeling bad. He denies Jesus. He doesn't really know what to do. And here Jesus is reinstating him. And this man who denies Jesus, and this man who probably feels sort of bad, now we're back in Acts. This man is about to stand and preach a message that you can't duplicate. What happened in about 40 verses? Well, Peter quit thinking about himself and quit thinking, well, I messed up. I don't care. I forgive you. Now, let's get going. You mean that? Yeah, it's all right. Let's go. Okay. Peter's got a newfound confidence and faith and trust, and he's endowed with the Holy Spirit controlling. And Peter stands up in chapter 2, and Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. And he just puts it to them. Peter knows how to make a message, too. How does he make his message? He talks about Jesus. Can't go wrong. Talks about Jesus. What was the topic of Peter's message? Jesus. He stands up and quotes Joel, the prophet. What minor prophet did he quote? Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Isn't that what he's just done? Peter's amazing here. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit second time. Why is Peter preaching that? Because it's just happened. I'm learning this. See, I read the Bible and say, Lord, what do you mean? When God blesses me or just reminds me of something one morning, I try to share that at Salem. I'll walk in and say, hey, guess what? God did this for me this morning. It's fresh. It's like, you ever smell fresh bread coming out of the oven? Those yeast rolls or something? Give me 12 of them. You know, it's just like, give it to me. It's fresh. It's hard to share something if you don't what? Have something. Well, I remember in high school, I don't hear it. You know, I mean, bless your heart. I mean, yes, you can share high school, but you know what I mean. I used to run a mile 4 minutes. What, was a car chasing you? I mean, you've never ran a mile. And tell me what you've done now. That's almost like you're trying to live where? In the past. Let me tell you the last time God blessed me. About 18, 12. Golly, that's the last time he had. How about this? Oh, God spoke to me this morning. He was reminding me that, oh, yeah, poor dumb. I want to hear this because you are alive and well on planet Earth. I like to hear those fresh blessings. Peter says, guess what? I just got covered up with the Holy Spirit yesterday. He said, right here, I'm going to pour out my spirit. I will pour out my spirit. He's just laying it on him because he's just been having the spirit poured out on him. I will show wonders to the heaven above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire, billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Verse 21, he quotes Romans. Well, he's really, what he's trying to remind you, he's talking about Joel, but it's the same verse in Romans. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, what? Will be saved. He's just offered an invitation. Man, this guy can preach. Pretty good for an old dumb fisherman. Pretty good for a guy that didn't even want to stand up for Jesus 40-some verses ago. Men of Israel, listen to this. Now he pours it on. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose. That means God's plan was fulfilled there. Is God's plan to have his son die? Yes. I thought something had happened. No, it wasn't no accident. God set purpose and foreknowledge and said, with the help of wicked men, with the help, he used those, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, now he's quoting David, the psalmist, I saw the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope.
We are not a people that have no hope. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Jesus didn't have enough time to decay. He wasn't in the grave long enough. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can confidently tell you that this patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here today. But he was a prophet, knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing that was what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised Jesus to life, and we are witnesses to that fact. Nothing like that is a good... What kind of source does the newspapers call that? He's a primary source. Well, how do you know it's Jesus raised? I saw him. Okay, that would take care of that. You can't be an effective witness to Jesus secondhand. Really? No. God doesn't let me into heaven because I'm a distant relative. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 right there says, how great is the love the Father has what? Lavished on us that we should be called a what? Children of God, not the second distant cousin. Jesus is being preached right here. The Lord said to my Lord, boom, there it is. So you say, okay, he's got to really make it clear. He does. When the people heard this, they were cut to the quick, or cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? In other words, they said the two words of my message in serious title. What did they say? What now? We just heard the gospel. And Peter says, well, go and listen to Oprah and read the Reader's Digest. No, he doesn't. What do we do? Load the gun. I bet you the other disciples are going, Matthias is like, wow, what a preacher. He's quoting Joel, he's preaching. And of course, some of the disciples are going, I'm going to get to preach next week. You hang on. And Peter just hangs up and just boom, right here he drives it home. Look what he says. What shall we do? They said, Peter said, repent and be baptized. Change. Be baptized. Show the world. Well, why? Well, baptism in the New Testament is sort of like circumcision in the Old. It was sort of like an outward sign of what's happened inside. But we're not. Circumcision is not important anymore. Well, Jesus has just left it with Peter and the churches to say, we're going to do this brand new church, and how we let the world know that we're serious about our faith is to be baptized. Repent. Be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins may be forgiven and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you can be just like we are. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off and for whom the Lord will call. And with many words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. In other words, change. Off, give an altar call. Look how many people got saved in the next verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized in about what? 3,000. If you're mad about a mega church, don't. After he quotes Joel, he gives an invitation and boom, look what happens. What was the topic of Peter's message? Jesus. What minor prophet did he quote? Joel. What are some of the traits of the early Christians that we should emulate? Look at the last few verses of chapter 2. I love this. The fellowship believers. I want LifePoint to be this church, so let's read it carefully. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That means you'll come to church every week and hear every preacher teach. I'm paraphrasing. And to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. We're going to enjoy fellowship with one another. We're going to breaking of bread, communion. We're going to pray together. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything what? In common. How many cliques were in this church? None. How many backbiters? None. How many business meetings? None. They're so much in love with Jesus, they got everything in common. They even sold their possessions. They had yard sales and sold everything off. And selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. They all looked at each other like, we got to take care of so-and-so. We got to take care of that person. Isn't that an amazing church? Selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They still were faithful. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Praised God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They even added more. Chris, let's go back. Look to chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple. It's time of prayer. Kept up with that. And I'll just give you these few verses right here. Just the first couple, and we'll answer chapter 3.
And a man calls out, and the man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he had been put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, eye to eye, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." Why did he say, "Look at us"? Anybody want to guess? He wouldn't ask the man's full attention. He said, "Look at us." Not "look at us," because the beggar just gave me the money. No. I'd say that's the first time somebody really looked at man eye to eye, because most people didn't think. What do you want to do if someone's crippled? When I was at Emory and Henry, I was in a wheelchair. Nothing was wrong with me. We did this. I look back and I hope I wasn't tricking people. Anyway, in one of my classes, they said, "We want you to feel what people feel." So they said, "We want you to be in a wheelchair and your partner's going to push you around. Once you get to a mall, you got to take care of yourself." So I was left and I'd go in there. Most people walked on the other side when they saw me coming. I did feel a little bit what it's like on the crippled going on the other side. While other people went the other way, what'd they do? "Can we push it?" You know, no. I don't want to go this way. You know, y'all are too helpful, the other people are hateful. Well, this man, he's probably shunned. Peter says, "No, look at us." And Peter gives him a great answer. "Silver or gold I do not have. I don't have money. What I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Pretty good gift. Taking him by the hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles were strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them. Look at this. He went with him. Didn't say, "Thanks, I'm gone." Now he wants to go with him. Now he went with him into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as, "Hey, you're the same man who used to be sitting begging at the temple gate called Beautiful." And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Peter spoke to the onlookers and said, "Wait a minute." While the beggar held on to Peter and John, right there with him, all the people were astonished, and Peter basically says, "Quit, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why are you staring at us like it would come from us? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed," boom, there's Peter getting me involved, "and you disowned him before Pilate," and in other words, you killed the author of life, it was all your fault. "But now, don't praise us, don't pat us on the back, we're just followers of him." And then he told them, look at verse 19 of chapter 3. "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." Peter just continues to be very bold. Basically, Peter preaches Jesus to the crowd. He tells them they put Christ to death, but they can have eternal life. Did you notice how Peter quotes or gives examples from Moses, Abraham, and Samuel? Why does he do that? Because the people he's speaking to are Jews. And all they've ever known is what? The Torah. They've known the Old Testament. So he uses a couple guys there to grab their attention. Well, this would be a lot for the Jews Peter was preaching to because they could relate to these Old Testament patriarchs. But then he introduces something new. He ties it all with the Jesus Christ. Peter ends up speaking again so boldly. Peter's strong in telling the crowd about Jesus. What does he tell them? He tells them the way of salvation. So far, they've won some people of the Lord. And who's the star of the play, if we had a play? Peter seems to be getting a lot of attention. You're going to find that there's other people that comes along. Right now, Peter and John are the ones that are getting more attention than others. Let's pray together as we close our time. Dear Jesus, I'm glad, I'm excited when I read what Peter and John were doing, and I can't do miracles, but yet I've seen miracles work. It can only be a miracle when I've seen certain things happen. Lord, to change a life is a miracle. So Jesus, I'm excited. Help us to be this church in the book of Acts. And help us, Jesus, now as you speak to our hearts. The first requirement for really being part of this new church in the book of Acts was to come and know you. That's why Peter just kept preaching you. We can't go wrong when we preach you. He didn't have a clever series of 12 points or 5 weeks. He didn't try to cover the 3 T's when he got up and preached. And Lord, that convicts me sometimes. Man, I never just have a story. Now I preach you. Jesus, you're the center of everything we do. So this is like a revival to me to go back. And if we want to grow this church, we've got to make you the center all the time. Every time we get together, may we pray. And may we speak of you. Lord, help us to be this early church. And Jesus, even it reminds me now that we can hear the word just like this group of people. And they were cut to the heart. They thought, Lord, what do we do? Maybe there's somebody here today that says, what can I do? You've reminded me that I want to be
person that sits by the side. Not a passive onlooker, but instead an active participant. May I step in? May we be sort of like pictures being Matthias. We've just been called to jump in and be part of this movement called the church. So Jesus, please speak to hearts today. Remind us that we can be used by you no matter who we are or what we've done, because you forgive us and you call us. We get a great example of that, Peter. Here he is preaching. The same man that denied you, the same man that had such a tough time standing up, and now we can't keep him quiet. So Jesus, thank you that I get a message today to preach you. And we get a message today to be encouraged by someone. Lord, may we picture you leaving and leaving us in charge. So may we make you proud of that. The fact that we've been called ought to encourage us. In Jesus' name, we be found faithful. Amen.